Hello, friends, and welcome to the DDP for the 13th of January. I'm Paul White. I'm honored you're with me today. I want to encourage you to check out the Wednesday drop on all of our platforms. We do an audio long form, or a long sermon, rather, on Wednesdays and Sundays. And, of course, the Wednesday is from our Tuesday night Bible study in Georgia. We are still closing out, heading towards the end of the Gospel of John, and we would encourage you to be a part of that journey if you can. We are just now posting the 124th lesson from that series, and we are finishing the 19th chapter. So you don't have to go in order. You can jump in anywhere, enjoy the journey. It's a very fun and thorough look at John's gospel and the life of Jesus and the ministry of redemption and the gospel of peace. And John's my favorite of the four gospels, and for a lot of reasons, and I won't get into that here today, but I encourage you to go check it out. PWM is our YouTube channel. Of course, anywhere you're listening to this podcast, you can listen to the audio version of that sermon. And then the central hub of it all is paulwhiteministries.com, which is where we put all kinds of stuff, so go check that out. Today, we are continuing our look at some Old Testament stories through a New Covenant lens. We are in the 54th chapter of Isaiah. Yesterday, we dealt with that prophecy that the barren would bring forth more children than the married, and we connected that to Galatians chapter 4. I felt like I kind of flew through the Galatians 4 passage because I was trying to really spend a little more time in Isaiah and a little less time in the Galatians part of it. I did say at the end there, Paul mixes his metaphors. I should probably say it this way. Paul chooses an allegory, and then he sort of shifts gears in the middle of it. His allegory is that Hagar is the old covenant, and Sarah is the new covenant, and that Hagar produces a son by the flesh because she's young, and she's fertile, and she has a child, and that's a work of the flesh. That doesn't mean it's bad. It means it's a work of the flesh. It means a child is produced from sex between Abram and Hagar. But then Sarah's too old to do that. She can't possibly bear a child in her old age. So her son, Isaac, is a work of the Spirit. And that's Paul's allegory, that all the old covenant will do is produce works of the flesh, while the new covenant will produce a work of the Spirit. The old covenant will be the best you can do. The new covenant will be the best God can do. Then Paul shifts gears mid-allegory, and he says, Hagar, her example is Jerusalem, which is, he said, and is in bondage with her children. And that's all the offspring of Jerusalem. And then he talks about, but we are all free because we are from the Jerusalem which is above. And so his shifting metaphors then is one city you can see, one city you can't see. And to support that, he quotes Isaiah 54:1. And it's a little bit confusing because Sarah is the married woman and Hagar is the non-married woman. But if you have to realize that as he's shifting the allegory, what he's doing is he's telling you that Jerusalem is currently bearing children called Judaism. And what's going to happen, he says, is more children are going to be birthed from the invisible Jerusalem. That's the new Jerusalem. That, by the way, is not out in your future. That was a present possession. That's what we have now. And therefore, more has been done to bring into the family of God children through the supernatural work of Christ on the cross than could ever be done through natural, quote-unquote, Judaism. All right. That sort of shores up where I rushed a little bit yesterday. That takes half my time today, really, although I don't have a clock, but I still try to stay in this general ballpark, which is about enough time, I think, to talk to you about Isaiah chapter 54, verses 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. My encouragement to you today, take a look at Isaiah 54:2 and start to use it as a prophecy for your life. Enlarge the place of your tent. Believe that the will of the Father is to enlarge the place of your tent. I don't think that necessarily means for God to give you a bigger house. Maybe it does. But I think that's making too literal what's meant to mean a lot more than just a house. Enlarge the place of your dwelling is you will begin to see a greater sphere of influence. And what let's notice how this happens. As we see Jesus dying on our behalf in Isaiah 53, we are then encouraged in Isaiah 54, 1 to sing. We've been barren, we've been unproducing, we've been stifled by the death of the old covenant, but now, because we've received Jesus and who he is, we have been set free, set onto an ocean of liberty, released into the finished work by the grace of God. Now what do? Enlarge our tents. Believe that what God wants to do in you and me is he wants to enlarge our tent and stretch out the curtains of our dwellings, strengthen our stakes so that we're going to expand to the right and the left. And here's the best part, that our descendants will inherit the nations. I'm praying that for my descendants. I'm praying that for my natural descendants, my kids. But I'm also praying it for all of sort of my spiritual descendants, those of you out there who have been influenced or birthed by this ministry or what this ministry has offered, and you're looking at it and saying, I am better off, I'm more liberated because of what that ministry has given me. I'm believing that that's a form of the descendants that I have that are going to inherit the nations and you're going to inhabit desolate cities. I believe it for my natural children. I believe it for supernatural children. And I think you ought to believe it in your own life as well. It comes in due order. Christ dying on the cross in 53, taking all of me into him so I can have all of him into me. And then I sing because although I've been barren, I'm now going to be a greater producer than ever before. And the end result will be that I will have my tent stakes broadened, that I will be able to do more, be able to take in more than ever before. One of the things that Natasha and I've talked a lot about in this last year, and we've started watching the Holy Spirit do this, is that we are to be prepared for an increase of our property, an increase of our tent. And we've seen that. We have seen amazing miracles of God growing and building this ministry, and it's all him. Because we're not even really that ambitious in the natural realm to build. I don't have plans like this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do. I just want to release people into liberty and whatever way that the Father shows us to do that. And we're starting to walk into that inheritance and walk into that place where the tent is broadened. And I encourage you in that today. Walk into that place where the tent is broadened and push those stakes out. You say, how do I do that? See all that's wrong with you as having been paid for in Jesus. See all that's right with Jesus as being part of your inheritance. And then sing aloud. You don't have to do that in the natural. If you want to, fine. But sing that aloud in your spirit, that though you've been barren, you shall now be a producer. Why? Because of Jesus. This is all because of Jesus. Not because you've memorized some scriptures, not because you've confessed your way into positive things, but because of Jesus. These do not stand alone, these verses. This follows this great prophetic passage of the cross for a reason. As we spend time in faith at the cross, seeing what's been done on our behalf, we start to see these things as our reality. More from Isaiah 54 tomorrow. See you then. God bless.